Good morning, everyone. So, like Miles said, it's a little early, but even though we're all a little tired, I'm excited. Bat lead off very briefly here. We all know you're not here for us. We're here for Representative Evans and Senator Esslinger. So I'll just give a brief update, kind of what's going on at the co-op, some stuff that we've encountered this past summer, and stuff that we're encountering, you know, moving on into the future. So just a few quick stats. Everybody knows how Oregon Electric, you know, obviously serve electric to about 25,500 meters across portions of six counties. You've got Howe in Oregon, then Pieces, Ozark, Shannon, Douglas, and Texas. So this past year, we replaced over 1,300 poles in our pole change program, cleared over 700 miles of right-of-way, and had to do trimming on over 4,100 trees. Our plant assets of what our members own is in excess of $135 million. So we do a lot. That's not even close to everything that we do. We do a lot with a little. We do that with 84 employees, and it's something we're proud of. It helps us meet our mission statement of providing cost-efficient, reliable energy with a little bit of value-added service. So with that in mind, in our mission statement, I'll move on to what we've encountered over this past year in the summer. So we all know it was hot this past summer, and it didn't rain, and it stayed hot, and it didn't rain. So how did that affect Howe Oregon and other Missouri electric cooperatives in providing reliable energy to our members? And basically what it meant is all of our available assets, they were on call 24/7. They were cranking all the time. We had our baseload generation, and when I talk baseload, I'm talking about our reliable generation in the form of our low sulfur, top quality coal, natural gas, they were cranking, hydro. We have hydro in the tune of about 450 megawatts. And then we have wind that is contracted up in northwest Missouri that when we need it, when the wind's blowing, we can bring that onto the system. And then things get really tough, we can purchase off system and bring that in. And this summer, we had to take advantage of all of those assets and all of those pathways to get energy to our members because, like I said, it was hot. What did that do for us? It really highlighted some weaknesses across the nation in generation capacity. These weaknesses, you know, have been brought on basically by federal mandates to get rid of baseload generation and replace it with renewables. And what we ran across in the Midwest this summer for the first time in a long time was the question of, will demand for energy surpass our capacity? And, you know, there were times that it was tight. We called a lot of peak alerts. The radio stations, you know, they can tell you how Oregon called a lot of peak alerts. We called them on Facebook. So, you know, we do have the wind that I talked about. I'm not saying that renewables don't have their place. They do. In today's environmental society, renewables have their place, but they have yet to prove reliable when we need them the most. Just simple as that. The technology's not there. But moving forward, you know, electric cooperatives in the state of Missouri, we're making the commitment to increase our baseload generation to the form of about 900 megawatts of natural gas. Associated Electric Cooperative, which is our generation co-op, they've committed to this. And I don't remember the timeline, Miles, but they've committed to 900 megawatts of natural gas. And this is for reliability and reliability alone. We don't feel like it's right to sacrifice our members' reliability and affordability for technology that's not proven yet. When I say not proven yet, it will get there. Renewables, you know, the plan is in place. The legislation is in place. Renewables are going to be a big part of the mix moving forward. But we need what we call our three T's. We need technology, we need time, and we need transmission. Everybody here deals with technology. Technology is a great thing, but it takes time for technology to catch up. Also, we need transmission. There's several sites that renewables are going to be put in. They're going to be generating, but we need transmission to get that from where the energy is generated to us, the end user. And we have a phrase in the co-ops I'm sure everybody else is using around here at times. It's NIMBY, N-I-M-B-Y, not in my backyard. And a lot of people, communities, towns, farms, they don't want these transmission lines running through their areas. So that's a big roadblock to getting this renewable energy to the end user, So it's coming, something that we're working on. But I'll wrap it all back up to say, you know, how Oregon Electric, we have a mission statement. We're cost efficient, we're reliable, we've done it for 84 years, and we're going to do it well into the future. So that's why we're here. That's all I've got for you. I'll keep it brief and simple. We do appreciate Senator Esslinger, Representative Evans being here. I think they do a great job for South Central Missouri and the legislature. We're very lucky to have them. And we're proud to sponsor this breakfast, as Miles said. And without any more ado, I'll hand it back over to you.
Aaron mentioned a couple different times it had been really hot this summer, and he's exactly right. When Carol Sylvie came in today, she was trying to pay at the door, and I remind her it had been really hot, so we'll pick up the tab this year. So we probably should send it to Ekman, though, because peak alerts are ads. All right. Well, we'll get to what we're here for today, and that's to hear from our state senator and our state representative. I think we all know both of them. Representative Evans has been a lifelong resident of West Plains. He has served in the House since 2018, and prior to that was a judge from 1990 to 2018. Member of the First United Methodist Church, and he lives here with his wife, Sandy. And I'm going to go ahead and introduce both of them now, because I think they're going to do a little bit of tag teaming at some point as well. Senator Esslinger, also a common face in this area, been in the legislature, in the Senate now for her first term, and prior to that was in the House and a high school superintendent for a number of years, including West Plains, prior to going to the state legislature. So with that having been said, I'll turn it over to our elected officials and let them take it.
Just a few words first, and that is thank you. In many ways, this is a really great job. Carla and I became good friends our first 2 years in the House, and honestly, the first 3 or 4 months, we looked at each other constantly every day and said, why in the world are we doing this? It can be frustrating. You can have a lot of bad customers, and unfortunately, a lot of those customers are our own party and the Democratic Party, both. But you have to learn to get thick skin like you do in business and target trying to help folks. And that really, it sounds kind of corny, but really that's what we decided we would do. Really just try to help the people put up with the rest of it and do as best job, work hard, do as best job as we can. So it has been an honor for the last 4 years. At most, I can do 4 more years and tell you now, that's it for me. I have no plans politically after that and don't want any. But one thing let me just mention real quick, which is kind of cool. I know the co-op has been working closely with some private providers, and for a long time that's kind of how we in the Capitol thought we would get high-speed internet in the rural areas. It is incredibly expensive for them to try to put household by household, miles apart, run these lines between them. But with a lot of influx of federal money and state at the highest level ever, now at the state level as well, we're seeing private business. I know at least Jake's back here and others maybe, and the county's been helping out. Hopefully you'll see some huge progress in the next year with high-speed fiber internet by private providers being strong, again, with cooperation of a lot of different people. To me, that's pretty exciting.
Hey. Very good, very good. Well, we didn't really plan on how to do this, but hi, I'm Carla Esslinger. I absolutely love coming to the Civic Center to West Plains, unless it's 7 in the morning. I got behind every cow, whoever decided to sell all their cows, and also any big tree they could haul out of their farm, they decided to get on, I think I go 95, 181, 14, and CC to get here. So just a hair late. But first off, I want to just share a little bit. David, and I'll call you David, but I guess I should say Representative Evans. David and I have become fast friends, and what happened was we showed up in the legislature together, legislation in the House. And I never really knew you that much when I was working over here in West Plains a few times, never in court. by the way.
We won't talk about it. She swore me to secrecy.
No. But we were able to sit together for the first 2 years in the House, and I want you to know that one of the reasons that I'm standing here in front of you as your senator was because he kept telling me that I really need to run for the Senate. I mean, over and over, and I kept turning it around saying, no, you do it. Why am I doing it? You do it. But anyway, here I am, and I'm very proud to be your senator, and I think the way we can do this is we could talk about topics and just hit them, right? Is that okay?
Sure.
All right. So, how about tax cuts? You want to talk about tax cuts? Oh, you should be more excited about it. Come on. We have been wrestling up there, literally. In fact, I've got to go back up and finish up the work that they finished up yet last week. But tax cuts. So, I'll start off with that we started out at about 5.3, I think it was, and then some triggers happened. And I do believe that we're going to be ending up with, when we finally pass this big tax cut that's happening, we're going to end up to about 4.95, but with additional triggers and with additional opportunity to hopefully push that all the way down to 4.5. And we think that if our economy continues to grow at the rate that it is, that we're going to see that 4.5. So when you think about 5.3 to 4.5 as a reduction in your income tax, that's pretty significant. How many times have you ever received a reduction in tax? I mean, it's pretty huge. So I'll let David talk about his version. Now, of course, there's always the Senate version of a tax cut, and then there's a House version of a tax cut. So let's hear David's.
We actually ate humble pie last week and backtracked and accepted the Ta-da! Senate version. Because we knew the Senate would never, ever accept our version. So there you go. Yeah, it does go down to around 4.9 this coming year. The triggers are future economic growth triggers. That will take a while. Honestly, I think we could do more. It's interesting. The opposition says both at the same time, we did too much in tax cuts and we did far too little. So I'm not sure quite what it is. I do believe we need to... one area in particular, which is really strange this past couple of years, we've seen personal property taxes for vehicles in particular, equipment, increase in value. Maybe the first time ever in our history, substantially increase in value for used vehicles. And some areas, particularly in some of the bigger cities, you're seeing private assessors taking advantage of that and increasing the base tax in those areas huge amounts. I seriously doubt our people will hear, because that would be political suicide to all of a sudden increase, but simply because you can. So we want to try to regulate that in the coming year to make that fairer. This is a glitch in the system, and I think those values may come down fairly soon. But to take advantage, increase your property taxes 25% seems unfair. So. We still have a long way to go. I'd like to see some other taxes that are targeted, this is a Republican talking, but to everybody, we passed last year and the governor vetoed it, a tax credit that everybody would have got a flat amount. We're accused of doing too much, but these figures just blow my mind. We have about $5 billion in surplus that we don't intend to spend right away. A lot of that is saved for potential recession. A lot of that's saved for covering expansion of the Medicaid program. So we have been and continue to be a AAA rated state, very conservative in our spending, sometimes too much so. There are a lot of areas we need to increase, including state employees have been underpaid for a long time at the low, folks that actually do this stuff out in the field. So that's an area we're going to be, we increase that again this year. Mm-hmm. I'll let Carl talk about education. We really, really, and this is another criticism, but this past year we set record levels of spending for education. Segue.
Ta-da. And actually, why would we ever be criticized for investing in our children? I don't know. But you know, we sometimes we are. But Wes, We fully funded transportation, hallelujah. You know, we had not fully funded transportation since like the 90s. And then when we talk about fully funding it, it's really only 75%. Anyway, you have to be super, super efficient before you can even get the 75%. So fully funded is, and I guess Wes could come up here and talk forever about it, but fully funded is we funded it to the level that we are allowed by law to fund it, pretty much. So there's still a local dollar. There's still some federal money inside moving kids back and forth to school. And I want you to know that your transportation costs never have anything to do with going to ball games or field trips. It's just hauling kids from school and back, and that's it. We also provided some support for our educators, and I think you guys have all known that I have been one of the biggest cheerleaders and advocates for the people that we placed in front of those children. I mean, we need to pay our superintendents, and we need to probably pay our building principals and our bus drivers and our food service, and all those people make up that system. But the one who has the most significant impact on your children are the people who stand in front of them every day, your educators, your classroom teachers. And so we were able to put in a grant program where school districts who had a minimum salary lower than 38, which is, by the way, we were the last in the nation. Our minimum salary was the 48th or something like that in the nation. That means that's the smallest amount that you would pay an educator. So right now we have a grant that if you want to, your school district can apply, and then you are able to bring that minimum salary up to $38,000, and it's paid. The state pays 70% of that cost. It's still 30% of the district cost. But it's a step in the right direction. And just as Representative Evans said, everything you do up there, this is what just absolutely, nothing changes, right? When you're a classroom teacher, if you taught a lesson, some of the kids thought it was the best thing ever. Some of the kids like, you could do better. Well, building level principal, when I worked for the U.S. Department of Ed, where I was worked for university, everybody doesn't love everything you do, right? Ever. I had school people come to me and say, I don't like that minimum salary thing. You can't promise it forever. And I thought, are you actually telling me that you are not going to accept this is what we should be doing in our districts? But anyway, now I think we've all kind of healed a little bit, and hopefully we're going to be able to continue this, and I can't promise anything because, as you know, every year we create from scratch a budget. And one thing I can say about Missouri that I'm super proud of is that we always have a balanced budget. We never run in the red. So unless we've got the revenues, we don't allocate the money. So we're always a balanced budget. Representative Evans sits on budget committee in the House, and I sit on the appropriation side in the Senate. And because of that relationship that we have, where the folks that he comes home to serve and folks that I serve are a lot of the same people, we were able to get some pretty cool stuff done in the budget this year.
Yes.
Yes. So I will segue into that. Okay.
All right.
Oh, wait a minute. Before we do that.
Okay.
Tax cuts, guys. Tax cuts.
Senators always have the last
word. No, they don't. He always gives me a hard time. So tax cuts. Here's an example of what happens when we have good communication. We had a area business leader. And if I said his name, you guys would know. Now you know it's a guy. Anyway. You would know who it was. He came to us and said, I'm getting audited. This is bad news. Department of Revenue, blah, blah, blah. You can imagine. I think we've all been down that road occasionally with the Department of Revenue.
$2 million.
We were able to sit down with the department, and I want you to know that Representative Evans did the legwork. I brought him in. I would do like the icing, right? He would do the cake. I'd do the icing. He'd do the cake. I'd do the icing. We were able to reduce that down to nothing. We were able to get rid of that, absolutely. And we looked out across the state, and we noticed he's not alone. He's not the only one that this happens to. And so what happened was, and you guys know that David loves words and text and language and clarification. It's his thing. So he was able to come up with two or three tweaks to a statute that gave us the opportunity within this tax bill that we just passed. I think it's in the Farm Bill.
It's in the Farm Bill. You've got to pass it.
It's going to happen. Anyway, so we were able to change that to where basically a vendor does not have to say, I'm using this piece of equipment just for my farm. That if there doesn't have to be a proof of you're using it on your farm or not to be able to avoid sales tax. So that was a big win for us, we think. And I'll just let David finish that.
It sounds kind of weird, but just to add to that a little bit, we had the director of revenue director had left for another job, There was not a revenue director. Some of the bureaucrats decided to reinterpret the sales tax statute on farm equipment. Farm equipment, by law, I didn't know this, is treated like equipment you buy for manufacturing. You don't double tax. You don't tax the manufacturer of the product and then tax it at the retail end. You tax it only at the retail end. Farming production is treated the same way. You don't tax at the farm level. You tax at the sales level. And they decided they didn't like that. And one merchant in particular, they're going to back tax with fees, penalties, and everything they could throw at them for $2 million. It's probably going to shut them down. It was really a strange and odd thing. Fortunately, the governor got really mad about it as well, and it stopped real quick. But this simply will make sure, because of a poorly written law to begin with, we're tweaking that to make it better. So any use of farm equipment that you use on the farm, even if you might take your farm down to the parade, right now the law says exclusive use. That means you can't use it for anything else. So if you take your tractor down to the parade and drive it down the street, that is not exclusively using your tractor for farm equipment. We've eliminated that if they pass this bill today or tomorrow, just to protect that in the future. Not a huge thing, but it was to those merchants sometimes when bureaucrats just go a little bit crazy. So education real quick, we also, that was from 26 to 38, the minimal teacher salary. We also started again the career rider, Bright Flight increase, A-plus increase, First Steps increase, Parents as First Teacher increase. And now local schools, just like we do, most of them have record amounts of padding. But that's rainy day funds. And to be conservative, you need to have that rainy day fund. We can't criticize that for them. The federal money will not be around forever. When that dries up, things will be potentially hard again, particularly if our economy goes down a bit. So everybody needs to be a little bit cautious. But we were able, contrary to what publicity in the next week or two you might hear, for the first time in a long time, spend a lot of money, long-deserved money for education. Second, we helped out locally. One of my pet projects and one of hers is our local MSU campus. Carol, you still president? Yes. Of the Board of Governors. Not for too much longer. But with her help and the school's help, and truthfully, mostly for Carla's help, and I don't mind giving her as much or more of the credit, our House Budget Chair, who I'm good friends with, doesn't like to do line item special funds for any project. He's just that way. But the Senate, they're okay with that. So my job is always to make sure my Budget Chair likes our local projects, so when the Senate adds them on their side of the budget, we don't take them off on the House. In the last 2 years, we've done very successful in that, around $750,000 for the welding program over here, and I count this maybe as one of the most, if not the most important thing I'll do up there, $7.5 million for the Autism Center, Dennis Lancaster's pet project, which I absolutely love, a program totally devoted to helping autistic kids at least for 2 years. I guess you could go 4 years here locally. One of the only ones, maybe one or two in the state. So fantastic program that will be coming soon. Carla.
Okay. So the program, and I don't know if, Carol, you want to say anything about the program overall, but it's not just for students that have that particular diagnosis, but it's also for their parents, for the community, for local industry. There's teachers, how to train teachers to be able to provide service and support for those families, those children, but also to connect them with business so that they have opportunity for post-secondary success, to where they're not just sitting home playing in video games. We want to make them part of the community and contributing to the community, and that's what this program's about. And it's not just within the city limits of West Plains or even Howe County. This will be a regional center where you're going to be bringing in more and more people that have the expertise in this to serve this population and be able to support those families. It's a huge win for Howe County and for this region. And so when I say $7.5 million, I think we ought to say hallelujah. So I'll say it, 7.5 million. Hallelujah. Well, I don't usually preach. But I guess I could. All right, so we also ended up with a nursing simulation piece that we had around 1.25, was able to support that. That's also at Missouri State. A surgical center, they were having a little trouble in Texas County finishing up a surgical center, so we're just minor surgeries, things like that, where you're not having to drive to Springfield. We were able to do that for Texas County. Also, I was going to talk a little bit about professional registration. Are you familiar with what professional registration? Basically, it's if you have a certification of some sort, right? Education, maybe engineering, cosmetology, everything from Lancer, whatever it is that you are required to have professional licensure for, I was able to pull all some of the unnecessary hoops and pieces to that, and I'll talk a little bit about that. But did you have something else on taxes or ag? Nope. Okay. So where we're at right now is they did a lot of work for a whole week on that tax bill, right? And then they went, we'll just go with the Senate version. So I thought that was pretty good. So
it wasn't quite that easy.
It really wasn't. But I am thrilled that's coming back over. We're going to be able to get that out pretty fast. Now, what happens in the Senate, as you all know, maybe you do, I'm not sure, but there's a lot of egos in that room. There's not anybody who ever wants to sit down and decide somebody else's idea is really good. They want to have their little piece to it. But what I'm thinking is we're going to end up with really having a smooth couple of days. From here, I'm going to drive back up. I've got to go to appropriations. And after appropriations, then that bill, that tax bill, comes back to the floor, and also an ag bill. So you want to start us off on the ag bill?
Go ahead. It's mainly about tax credits for farmers, but the really good piece in there about, I call it the Save the Family Farm piece,
yeah.
is in there, what we talked about earlier, so I'm not going to repeat that.
How about the log trucks? We did the log trucks.
You can talk about this. My actual seatmate now did the, that was his language on the log trucks. I'll let you explain that.
All right.
She mentioned registration, that reminded me of healthcare, and I don't think either one of us directly had anything to do with this, but one of my highlights of the past year was the Patient Protection Act, because it was another instance, I think, maybe even worse than the one I talked about earlier, where government just went out of the way to cause folks a lot of trouble, and that's during COVID. This is the main bill we ended up with. COVID came and went, and now we're kind of almost back to normal. But the legacy from that is we had a lot of people here, and it was really pulled my heartstrings, that couldn't see their family. I had one guy that was married 50, maybe 60 years, couldn't see his wife except through a glass window, couldn't hold her at all. She was dying in the nursing home until the last day or two. To me, that is just nuts and crazy and unfair and inhuman. So this bill simply says can't do that. You get at least one family member to be your advocate in the hospital or nursing home. And you have to remember why I say it really didn't make no sense. The employees coming in didn't have the same rules. They came and went from the hospital. They were exposed to COVID. They brought most of the COVID cases into the nursing home, not the people trying to visit that weren't allowed to. So I thought that was just government going too far. Sure, you got to be awful, awful careful when you have bad illnesses, but you also have to use common sense and compassion, and I think we left that out of the equation during COVID. So a good friend of mine with a U-chart did that for the right reasons, and that passed the House and the Senate and was signed by the governor. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that... before we open up for questions, like, we could bring you all kinds of stuff and tell you what we know, but I think what we really would like to know is what do you want us to know? Do you have questions that we could answer? Professional registration, very quickly before we go to that, I was able to provide some support for speech and language pathology. A lot of times our children in our state don't have access to speech teachers, to basically people who can help them. And also that comes into play with nursing homes as well, because when you have a stroke or you have some kind of a medical condition, sometimes you don't have access to those. So through professional registration, we were able to open up what's called a compact, where you have licensure that is accepted in the state of Missouri that you have in Kansas or Arkansas or someplace else, and also being able to deliver that through the internet going forward to where you can have a licensed person that is either overseeing your particular support there in town, or you're actually getting that directly from a licensed speech pathologist. I know it seems kind of minor, but I can tell you that my years in schools, and I had so many of the healthcare professionals come to me and say, this is a big void, and we're not able to provide those services to our kids. And it's bottom line, you want the standard high, you want the quality to be there, but you have to be able to bill insurance and Medicaid, or care, Medicare, whatever those things are. And if you don't have that particular license recognized in the state of Missouri, you don't have access to that kind of financial support. So that's why it's important. Also was able to do a little work in bringing what's considered medical, people who have doctors and medical certification, if they are part of the military, they have what's called these training programs where if they bring in a unit and this program comes in, they bring in a unit of medical people. If they're having like the hurricane that was just down in Florida, so they have your military personnel train these simulations, and when they do that, they go across the nation. They could never come to Missouri because Missouri would not recognize a doctor in the military if you didn't have a Missouri license. And so we couldn't do those trainings here. So we were able to clean that up, and I was thrilled that right there in Houston, Missouri, in Texas County this year, we were able to bring in a whole military thing. They practice bringing people in, triage, but instead of doing wounds or whatever, they're doing vision and dental checks because they could do that. So they were able to bring in a lot of people that had those kinds of needs, and were able to provide that service in Missouri because we were able to release that opportunity for them. So from there, I think we talked about tax cuts, ag, appropriations, registration, but the whole bottom line and the thing that you guys should really be interested in is all of those things are tied to economic development. And that's what your chamber's about, is getting businesses together and making sure that we have good leadership and support so that we can continue to have good places for our grandchildren to grow up and have their children. So economic development, and I can tell you that I was very honored to be asked, excuse me, by our governor to join him in a trade mission to Germany. And the reason that I was asked, you know, I thought it was just because I was a nice lady, but actually it's because I did a lot of work in economic development. And one of the things that I did was trying to tweak this program called Missouri One Start. And Missouri One Start is a program that provides customized training, provides relocation, provides recruitment support to industry that wants to come to Missouri. And so through some legislation this last year, I was able to kind of clean up some of the little bit of things that caused it to be not as efficient, and I was able to expand it to more areas such as the 33rd District. So I'll stop there. And